This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. You're listening to episode 96 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hey, Max.
Hi, David. How are you? How are you feeling? Are you coming along okay?
We have our ups and downs. What can I say?
That's right.
I'm going in the right trajectory. It just doesn't seem to be a consistent trajectory.
Well, at least if you keep making forward progress, that's good. I know you've got a lot of people pulling for you. So why don't we get started here and not tie you up too long, because I know you've got to get back to getting your rest. So what are we looking at for this episode, David?
Oh, well, let's see. We got a full show. We've got the DOJ has something to say about privacy, an older story about 2014 dummies with drones. Now, my partner in crime here corrected me that this was a January 29th story. But I just found it this week, and I'm going to go use the old adage that, like they used to say with reruns, if you didn't see it the first time, it's new to you.
A good point.
So, followed by a two-person drone incident this week, a drones-only store, a very utilitarian-looking camera drones, Noah says whales aren't to be photographed, a sports story with, unfortunately, my least favorite team in the NFL, a video of a week. So I guess we should get started, huh, Max?
All right, let's get started.
Okay, this first story was from popularscience.com or popsci.com. What the Justice Department's new drone rules mean for your privacy. So on the 22nd of May, 2015, the U.S. Department of Justice, otherwise known as the DOJ, announced an agency-wide guidelines that set standards for the domestic use of UASs. These apply to the U.S. Marshals Service, the FBI, the DEA, and the ATF, the DEA being the Drug Enforcement Agencies, and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Yeah, these are pretty heavy organizations that we've either known or suspected that they were operating drones and different kinds of missions.
The announcement officially said, quote, "The policy highlights protections of privacy, civil rights, and liberties and makes clear that UASs must be consistent with the protections afforded by the U.S. Constitution." Well, that makes sense.
I would certainly hope so, huh?
Justice Department components are barred from using UAS solely for the purposes of monitoring activities protected by the First Amendment, and components can only operate the UAS on a properly authorized investigations and activities. So I think we're in a good place there. And of course, the collection, retention, and dissemination of information collected by UAS is also subject to Privacy Act protections.
Yeah, when you read through this, David, the protections that are outlined here are, I think, the kinds of protections that I would want to see myself. I think most people would. As you mentioned, they are requiring that UAS be operated in a manner that's consistent with the Constitution, and I think that kind of goes without saying. One that I particularly like is the notice that under the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, you generally require a warrant before searches or observations, things like that. And I'm sort of heartened to see that there's explicit mention of that that requirement before enforcement agencies can go out and monitor people.
They also, going back to the Constitution, said they cannot solely monitor First Amendment protected activities. So that's part of me says about this, and this is me being cynical again, is unfortunately they're having to spell out common sense. And we have laws already on books, but if we dig a little deeper, they do talk about personnel must be trained to understand legal standards.
Right. You can't just go off and start flying one of these things without having that kind of awareness training, and that's good.
Properly authorized investigations. That goes back to the warrant. And are you legitimately doing this for a reason? Relative intrusiveness must be assessed before using the UAS. That's an interesting one. What do you think, Max?
I think what they're saying there is that if you need to monitor something or someone or fly a UAS in order to perform that kind of a mission, there's sort of a requirement that alternative methods be considered. And if they are satisfactory in terms of what the agency is trying to accomplish and are less intrusive than flying a UAS, the guideline here is to use the less intrusive method. So I thought that's pretty good. Another good one is on the collection, or rather the retention, I guess, of data. The guidelines say that you can't hold personally identifiable information for more than 180 days. Now, there's some carve-outs for exceptions, I think, if it's warranted, but basically there's a 180-day retention period on information. It must be also safeguarded. Another, like you say, David, kind of common sense item, but at least it's something that you can hold the agency accountable to.
And they're going to be subject to annual privacy reviews. Coming from a industry that has to deal with that every year, I hate taking that test every year, saying that I know what the hell to do with people's privacy information. And department websites to gain UAS policy and summary of UAS operations conducted. Now, that's interesting because the FBI and other agencies have not been really forthcoming with what they've been using the UASs for. They haven't said they weren't using them, but they just weren't very forthcoming. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that part of it. So the DOG's got an interesting definition of what a UAS is, huh, Max?
Yes, you read through the guidelines and, the references to UAS everywhere. And, you find yourself wondering, okay, so what's their definition of UAS? So what's covered under it? And they say that the unmanned aircraft system, what it means to the Department of Justice is an unmanned aircraft, and then parenthetically, an aircraft that is operated without the possibility of direct human intervention from within or on the aircraft, and associated elements, including communication links and components that control the unmanned aircraft. All of that are required for the pilot or system operator in command to operate safely and efficiently in the National Airspace System, so in the NAS. And then also it says, for purposes of this policy, reference to UAS includes all onboard sensor equipment. So that's what the DOJ defines as an unmanned aircraft system. As always, we'll have links in the show notes. You'll be able to find the guidance document itself, and you can find all that at theuavdigest.com/96.
So let's talk about the Your Grounded files from 2014. Now, I apologize, folks. This is an article dated January 29th. It showed up in my Twitter feed this week, and I thought it was kind of interesting that last November, evidently, the FAA released 193 incidents of drone misbehavior. And we got this from MotherJones.com. Now, for all people who don't know, Mother Jones is a politically leaning organization to one side that is
liberal.
It is liberal, and they probably would not be looking favorably at drone activity. But it is kind of interesting what the FAA was considering incidents in 2014.
There's 193 of them, as you mentioned, David. And these are just incidents that were reported to air traffic control officials. So it doesn't include reports of incidents that went to various other law enforcement agencies. So you can take that to mean that 193 is sort of the minimum, that there was probably, quite a few more. But one of the big ones was people flying drones near crowded sporting events. And I guess that's understandable. We see that happening fairly frequently. There's certainly a draw and attraction to doing that. If you're just a sports fan and you've got your drone and your GoPro, how can you resist, right?
That's what the sporting event's for, right? Bread and circuses. There was one report of a drone striking a person, and I actually think that was probably the incident where it was the go-kart race or whatever where the drone crashed into the stands. Close calls and near misses with manned aircraft. Now, there wasn't any totals on this, so I'm curious what percentage of that was in the 193 incidents.
Yeah. The article in Mother Jones, it mentions examples. The regional jet reported a flying device that almost hit the plane at 4,000 feet. This was just north of the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. Mentions a medevac helicopter in Las Vegas. The helicopter, again, in Stockton, California, reported almost hitting two remote control gliders at about 750 feet. So, yeah, there are a lot of examples of this one as well. Probably, maybe this is almost as popular a form of bad behavior as videoing sporting events.
And, of course, the other one that was a classic was one pilot was arrested after getting stuck in a tree while trying to retrieve his crashed drone.
That's the best one. Oh, the poor guy. I mean, it's bad enough that you've, got your brand new quadcopter. I mean, I don't know if that was the case, but just assume it was. And, you take it out and what happens? It's stuck up in a tree. And so you climb up there and you end up getting arrested. I think it might have been because of the location. This was in Washington, D.C. last August. And it may be the particular tree that the guy was climbing in was in a park or someplace like that.
So let's move up to May, Memorial Day, May 2015. And we have a drone crash in Boston during Marblehead's Memorial Day parade, this is from boston.cbslocal.com. Evidently, the drone lost its control over flying over the parade and crashed into a building and then hit two people, a woman on the shoulder and a man on the back of the head, leaving some minor cuts.
Mm.
All that being said, the operator was very apologetic and embarrassed.
Yeah, the police, I guess, were able to track him down one way or another. Don't know exactly how. I'm sure here again, it's a guy that just doesn't get it yet and shouldn't have been flying in close proximity to, in this case, spectators at a parade.
Buildings
also. Exactly, David. Right. So bad drone pilot. The article says that the FAA is investigating the crash. So it sounds like maybe he didn't get into too much trouble from the local police, but he may be hearing from the FAA, it sounds.
Or the people who were hurt by the drone.
Well, there you go. I mean, yeah, what an opportunity for lawsuits. There's that whole angle there. You fly someplace you shouldn't and you damage someone's property, or in this case, cause a minor, but still cause an injury to a person. In the article, they mentioned that the man that was hitting the back of the head or the neck or whatever had just moments before had his young daughter up on his shoulders or was holding her up and had just put her down, maybe because he heard the sound of the drone. I'm not exactly sure, but had just put her down. And if this thing had come down on him a few seconds earlier, it would have struck the young child. So not a good situation.
Nope. So let's talk about something new. A drones only store opens in Beaverton, Oregon.
Yeah, this was kind of exciting. Drones Plus. This is a business. They sell DJI drones, equipment, and a few other things as well. And they haven't been open that long, a little bit over 3 weeks maybe. And the store manager says that already they've had 1,500 people come in and look at the and look at the store.
It's kind of neat seeing a brick and mortar store. You know, we're so used to having the industry being internet based. I mean, the fact that you could go in and touch the stuff, and now I'm going back to my old school about being running a hobby shop.
Hmm.
There was nothing better than being able to come in and ask somebody like me, get tips on how to airbrush or have expertise and have that human interaction that sometimes you just don't get by shopping through the web. Good for them. I hope they're successful. They are one of three authorized DJI support centers, as well as the largest drone retailer in North America. Well, so good for them. Maybe we could get somebody from Drones Press on the show, or maybe they'd like to sponsor the show. But we really, it's nice to see a brick and mortar store opening up in this industry.
And, you know, on the number of people that have been coming in, I can imagine that some of those people are probably interested in purchasing quadcopters or multi-rotors or something. But there are probably a large number of people who are just kind of curious and see these things in the news and reported online, but have never really seen one or come close to one. So, I mean, we saw that when Drone Mama and I went up to Smith College to the presentation that they gave to the public on drones. A lot of people just kind of want to learn more about these things they keep hearing about. So there's probably a lot of that as well. Also, when I read the article, at first it sounded like this was, you know, just one location. But when you go to the Drones Plus website, which is, guess what, dronesplus.com, P-L-U-S, they have a number of locations. They have a store they first opened in Las Vegas about a year and a half ago. They have a store in Los Angeles, Seattle, another one in California, Studio City, and Toronto. And they mentioned that there's a store opening in Louisiana soon. So these guys are, you know, spreading out, and this is great. I hope they're successful. They might offer other services. I'm not sure. If you look on their webpage, in a little fine print, there's a statement: "We now offer 333 FAA exempt commercial drone filming." So maybe they're also looking at providing those kind of services as well.
Well, we wish them luck. So let's talk more tech. Meet Alexo and Sprite, the new rugged camera drones that look like something else entirely. This was from cinema5d.com. And these are definitely not your average octocopter or hexacopter. These are pretty interesting rigs that don't fit the normal mode. I found them kind of fascinating.
Yeah, they are. They're quite different. The AXO, I guess they have. There are two models: the Protector and the Motocross. And these are quadcopters, but they have this aluminum frame, an exoskeleton, if you will, lightweight, that sort of encase the whole thing. Imagine a pizza box, let's say, size kind of a shape, but made out of lightweight aluminum, with the quadcopter kind of inside. And the idea is that this frame, this aluminum frame, provides a high degree of protection for the drone itself. So there's that one. And then there's this Sprite. This comes from Ascent Aero Systems. And this one is completely different. This is sort of a vertical tube with a couple of counter-rotating rotors on the top side of it. And they claim this thing is very portable. It's very rugged as well.
Waterproof floats.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a really good idea, a drone that floats.
A one-axis gimbal-mounted, two-axis GoPro mount. So now both of these are Kickstarter programs,
right?
But we'll say this. But I found both of them fascinating compared to our normal DJI Phantoms and multi-rotors and quadcopters. These are, they're different. And it just shows how diverse the industry is becoming, and people, there's still a lot out there that's going to be new.
Right, right. And let me give my sort of standard Kickstarter disclaimer. Actually, it comes in two parts. One is, we're not advocating or saying that this is a good idea or not for you to invest. The other thing is that, you know, a lot of people treat Kickstarter as if it's a way to order a product. And it's not. What you're doing is you're investing in a product that doesn't exist yet, which may or may not end up existing. So if you're, you know, interested in supporting these guys and want to help with their Kickstarter program, you know, you're welcome to do that. There's no guarantee that you'll ever end up with a Protector or a Motocross or a Sprite in your hot little hands. So, you know, investor beware.
Or if you want to invest in a surefire thing, you could go to our Patreon page and donate to the UAV Digest to support this little show that you, but it all, just teasing set aside.
I like how you slipped that in though, David.
You got to take advantage of this stuff when it happens.
See, I can tell your recovery is progressing when you're, you know, sharp and can,
becoming more and more of a smartass, right?
Yeah. David's back.
But in all seriousness, folks, Kickstarter programs are, like Max says, they're not guaranteed they're going to happen.
Right.
But we like presenting them because they're cool. And if we can help these people get their products out there, that's great. But we're not saying go out and spend the money on it. That's up to you folks.
Right.
So let's talk about Noah.
Noah.
And the whales.
Oh, and no, I didn't make that connection until just now. That's pretty good. So Noah is the National it's easy to say, right? It's the National Oceanic Atmospheric Association.
Administration.
Is it administration?
Yeah, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Tell us about what they're up to, David.
Well, and we've encouraged this because we've put some of these on our video of the week. People have been taking pictures of whales using their UAVs.
Really spectacular videos as well.
Very amazing. Well, whales are an endangered species, or quite a few of sets of them are. And there's a regulation by NOAA that approaching with 500 yards by any means of a species protected under the Endangered Species Act and the regulations governing the endangered marine and anadromous species.
You know, I was hoping I wouldn't have to try to pronounce that. I have no idea what that means. Anadromous species.
All right, let's do it this way. You might need to do a blooper reel in this show. Approaching within 500 yards by any means of a species protected under the Endangered Species Act and the regulations in governing endangered marine species is a violation. That includes using a drone to take video of North Atlantic right whales, which someone did and posted on YouTube. And then NOAA sent a letter that said, and they're part of the Department of Commerce, requested that video be taken down from YouTube.
The takedown letter from NOAA is up on the web, and if you follow the link that we'll have in the show notes, you can see that. But a particular NOAA law enforcement special agent was quoted in the article as saying, "We try to take an education and outreach approach and ask for people's cooperation before we move forward with any enforcement action. The video itself could actually give the impression that it's okay to engage in that type of behavior." So, I mean, that's a pretty measured response, don't you think, David?
They're giving the benefit of the doubt and saying, you didn't know any better, fix it. But, of course, our friend of the show, Brendan Schulman, who is drone law, notes that laws were written contemplating aircraft, not drones. If you ask me, and this is a quote from him, if you ask me, we now have the ability to take amazing videos of these species and enhance the public awareness of them in a way that doesn't endanger them, and that's something we should consider to be the benefit of technology. Drones should be used for good. Well, Brendan, I sort of agree with him, but I disagree with him. You know, that's a tough call.
Yeah, there's two sides there.
And I mean, what happens if the drone crashes and injures the animal? Like we had the two people in the parade earlier in the episode. It's bad enough we have motorboats and fishing nets taking out whales. We don't need drones doing it, in my opinion. Yeah. But maybe we can work with NOAA and they can start using their drones to do it. Because they use them in accordance with NASA, so that could be good. All right, so let's get to the sports segment of the episode.
The Dallas Cowboys. Now, this is a football team for you international listeners.
And football being American football.
American football, yeah, real football for you soccer fans. We're going to get hate mail for that. So what are the Dallas Cowboys doing, David?
Well, they're using a drone to film practice sessions. Now, you've always heard everyone talk about watching tape, you know, and originally what they would do is have people stand up in the stands and videotape the practices so they can see all 22 players, which is, when they say that, it means the 11 on 11, the offense and the defense playing at the same time. And in this case, they're using a drone to videotape the thing. Now, what I'm really hoping is that drone footage ends up in the Eagles locker room and they can use it. But then again, we're not the Patriots and we don't cheat. So there, but
don't get me started on the Patriots. There's no fan here, David.
So it's,
we get more mail on that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So isn't this a commercial use?
Well, ironically, it's funny you say that because is it? It's being flown indoors. They practice in their indoor stadium.
Oh, the indoor stadium. That's right. They,
it's being flown, or it's being flown over private property.
Hmm.
It's being used not for any sales purpose.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think the I think that flying it in an enclosed stadium so that it's technically, I guess, indoors, to me, that's kind of the clincher. Hmm. I bet we're going to hear some more about this, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, we already know that, I forget, the baseball teams, what happened was, we remember when we were back in January when we were talking spring training with the baseball teams using them, the Major League Baseball, MLB, came down and said, you can't do it.
Hmm.
So maybe the NFL will speak up and give their opinion on the subject. So, yeah, I think we're not done hearing about this in football.
Well, I think that when it comes to telling the Dallas Cowboys what to do, probably the NFL has more pull than the FAA, I would say.
We'll see.
Hey, it's the Dallas Cowboys, you know? You don't get much more American than that.
Ugh.
Okay, we have a film festival coming up.
This is the InterDrone Film Festival, and this is going to take place September 9th, 10th, and 11th at the Rio Casino Hotel in Las Vegas. We're happy to be affiliated with InterDrone. They actually had their first one last year in New York, and they're going to have six categories: natural wonders, cityscapes and architecture, action sports, acrobatics and technical skill, storytelling and real.
You know, storytelling and real. Real is spelled in this article, R-E-E-L.
Commercial footage, real footage.
Is that what that means?
Yeah, meaning B-roll footage, I guess.
Okay. But also there's a People's Choice Award in each of those categories. Also an overall best in show. That grand prize for that is $2,000, and this is, I like this, or equivalent drone. So I guess you can take your winnings in cash or in drone.
In hardware.
In hardware.
Cash or hardware.
Yeah. So we have some information about InterDrone on our website on the UAVDigest.com. They're going to have some special events at that show, including a keynote with Chris Anderson. Everyone knows Chris Anderson, CEO of 3D Robotics and founder of DIY Drones. They're also going to have...
And a friend of Airplane Geeks.
Right. We've had him on Airplane Geeks before. Not in a long time, but we did when he was editor-in-chief of Wired. They're also going to have networking opportunities, industry panels, and then three technical programs. They're going to have Drone Tech Con for builders, Drone Flyer for, guess what, drone flyers. And the third technical program is Drone Business, and that deals with the business opportunities in the UAV market. So, again, you can learn more at our website.
And that would be the UAVDigest.com/96. All right, we have a video of the week. Since this is, you put this in, Max, and you left out my video of the week last week,
no.
Out of the show notes.
No, I did, didn't I? Well, let's mention that one first. So, yeah, last week, you'll recall, David mentioned a special video that some of our listeners created just for David. And we said we'd put that in the show notes. And guess what? I forgot. So we'll get it in there this week for sure. Also, and that's just a brief video. We have another one. This is called The Moment Territorial Goose Swipes Drone Out of Air. And this comes from The Guardian. This is short. I don't know. There's just something about these kind of videos. This is a goose that encounters a drone flying in northern Netherlands. And the goose is somehow threatened by this, maybe because of the territorial nature of geese. And so the goose decides it's going to take this drone out, and it pretty much does. So it's, the anti-drone folks probably love this kind of video. And I have to admit, it's got a certain amount of appeal.
We have when animals attack fetish on this show for...
That's right.
Various things.
Yeah, there was that ram or something that the guy was trying to get close to it with his quadcopter. The operator underestimated the reach that a ram can have, and that was the end of that quadcopter. But all right, I think, David, it's time to wrap this one up. You've been listening to episode 96 of the UAV Digest, so as we've said... visit us at the UAVDigest.com, or you can go straight to the show notes at the UAVDigest.com/96. And then we're also on all the usual social media places. You can follow us there. David, tell us about that.
You can follow us on Twitter, which is at UAVDigest, Facebook, which is Facebook.com/the UAV Digest. Of course, you can send us emails, feedback@the UAVDigest.com, or Max@theUAVDigest.com or David@theUAVDigest.com. If you love us on iTunes, leave us a review. Or if you download us through Stitcher.com, we did have a new Stitcher listener I saw this week. If you like some swag, we have a Cafe Press store. And of course, if you'd like to donate to help the show, you can go to our Patreon account, which is patreon.com/theUAVDigest. And of course, all those links are on our homepage. So go there. We have a new couple of listeners, and we'll give a shout-out to them next week that have donated to our Patreon account. And we appreciate all of you guys listening to us, and I guess that should wrap up this show. Until next week, I'm David in Philly.
And Max in Hartford.
Thank you for listening.